The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once, Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Have any of you heard the phrase practical atheism? It sounds kind of like a class, you know, Atheism 101, or kind of a book, Atheism for Dummies, you know? But it's a word or a phrase that is written a lot about, and it basically means that the person, whether they say they believe in God or don't, live their lives as if there is no God. So they're a practical atheist. Yeah, they say, "I believe," but when push comes to shove, they do it their way. You know, sure, there's a God, but I know better. It's kind of like what I mentioned previous homily about Billy Sunday. If you remember that famous quote from him, just because you go to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you an automobile. That's kind of practical atheism. You know, so just because we go to church doesn't mean we really are Christian fully. And it's a good thing to think about, because when we go out of the doors here, do we do things our own way? Do we have our own rules and regulations? Do we say, "I'm going to do that as long as it doesn't make me uncomfortable"? Or if someone says something, well, that's your opinion. And you can never really get into a conversation about the church or the teachings of the church, because it's all about me. It's my personal views and opinions. So basically, practical atheism includes people who don't believe in God and those who do, but they live their lives as if there is no God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we don't want to think that way, but we need to ask ourselves that question so that when we go outside these doors, we're not saying, "Okay, well, I got my duty out of the way, and now I'm going to do X, Y, and Z." In other words, not think as a Christian once we go outside those doors, because God forbid if we did, we may be changing things all the time in our lives so that we are showing our faith in Jesus Christ by not saying, "Okay, what's going to make us happy?" but rather, "What can I do to relieve the burdens and the pains of my brothers and sisters?" And so it's not about me thinking, "Okay, I've got to have this, I've got to go there, I've got to do whatever I want to do." But rather, what would a Christian do? Or, and this is how we're supposed to think, because Paul says it, put on the mind of Christ, what would Jesus be doing? What would Jesus be doing? Would he be doing what we do? And probably not. So are we more practical atheists than really practicing Christians? And certainly St. Paul's a good example of a real Christian. You know, he lived the life of a disciple 24/7. He didn't care if he was kicked out of cities. He didn't care if he was beaten up and left for dead. He didn't care about being shipwrecked. In fact, he said, "Lord, if you want to take me now, that is, I'm ready to die. However, if you got more work for me, that's fine too." That's the true Christian who says, "It's all about you, God. I listen to you and I follow you. I don't make up the rules as I go along to suit me, but the rules are already there. The life of Jesus, we know. So we don't have to reinvent the reality of Christianity." So again, there's the challenge. Am I living more like a practical atheist? Another way to think about it is, do I blend in real easily in our secular society? Is it clear from my actions, from what I say, that, yeah, they're just like us? You know, they give lip service to God, they go to church, but when push comes to shove, they still get into all these political conversations and judging other people, so forth and so on. Well, what would Jesus say about that? What did he say about that? He said, you know, look to yourself. You got not just a sliver in your eye, but you got a log in your eye. So when we kind of minimize that, and, you know, nowadays people would say, and I hear it at funerals, "Oh yeah, they're in heaven." It's, how do you know? You don't know. They may have been a nice person, but nice does not equal fidelity to the way of the cross. It doesn't. There's a lot of nice people, but that's not the Christian way. Yeah, we should be nice, absolutely, but there should be more behind it. Not just this kind of, you know, on the surface type of niceness, but a deep love and care for our brothers and sisters and a deep love for Jesus. Now Peter was also a real Christian, a real follower. Because in this story, and I'm not going to focus on once he got out of the boat and he lost his focus on Jesus, but how did he get out of the boat? And I don't mean physically. How did that happen? How did it come about? It's because Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, go ahead and ask me, tell me to come out and come to you." So he was courageous. He's also foolish too. You know, we know that he was unfaithful, but he was courageous. I don't think we see that when we read this story, but none of the other disciples did, but he did. He had courage. And he tested it out. That's a real disciple, one who has courage to go into the world and test things out and try things and not worry about what other people are going to say or worry about what's going to happen to me. We live in a culture where we take for granted just about everything, but our lifestyle, our comfort, you know, Social Security, and I collect Social Security, so you know I love it. But what do I do with it? Is it just about, good, it's for me so I can live a more comfortable life? Or, wow, this is one more gift that I am given, and how do I want to use it as a Christian? Someone who follows Jesus. Jesus held absolutely nothing back. And ultimately, Paul held nothing back. He didn't have anything to hold back. Neither did Peter. When they went on their travels, they depended on other Christians to put them up for the night, to give them food. And when they died, they didn't have a will, except the will of, since I give you my love and my prayers to all Christians who follow me. But they didn't have anything to give except their lives, and they did. They were courageous. So when we talk about the apostles, when we have stories like this, we're seeing people who were committed to being disciples. You know, not just pew sitters, not just Christian in name, not practical atheists, but people who keep saying, "It's not good enough what I'm doing. I can do more. We can do more as a community. We can do more. We could change the world." I think it was Mother Angelica once said, if every Catholic truly lived their Christian faith, the world would change. Well, of course it would. I mean, there's no way it couldn't. There's over a billion Catholics in the world. And if we really live grittily and courageously the gospel that has been passed on down to us, we'd be like a Peter and a Paul, courageous. So it's that word courageous. Ask yourself, do you really feel courageous? Do you choose to be courageous? Do you say to God courageously, God, bring it on. I don't care what it is. You have my permission. I want you to push me. Do we say that? That's courage. And many saints do that. And we can say, Lord, I want to go all the way with you, so help me in my courage to act courageously and to go forth and just do what I know I should be doing. You know, we say, I can't do that. That's not me. It's not my personality. Well, you know, everybody says that. You know, if we all gave into that, nothing would be done. But the fact is, and we see it throughout history, God's always choosing, you know, the peasants, the ignorant. Maybe we have too much education. We overthink it. And we overthink it to the point where we think our way out of being a Christian, whereas the poor, the simple, the ignorant, it's this visceral face-to-face with the Lord. And when the Lord touches them, they know something's really happening. But the fact is, we all can act courageously because we know how to do it. We have the teachings of the church. We have the scriptures. We have wonderful outreach programs. So it's not a mysterious thing, but we have to decide, I'm going to be like Peter. I'm going to say, Lord, go ahead, call me. Tell me to do X, Y, Z. Go on, do it. Be courageous in that. So think about over this coming week. Do you think of yourself as courageous? Or maybe a little timid, frightened? Can you pray for courage? What might you do to practice being courageous? Really, and you know, not just something, you know, that we're already comfortable with, but something that you're not comfortable with. But think of Paul, think of Peter, who were courageous, and we can be courageous too. You know, it's not a mystery. It's not something that we have to wait for. It's really something the Holy Spirit endows us with or encourages us, there's that word, encourage, to be courageous, to go out and do great things in the name of the Lord, even if it means stepping out of the boat. We got to get out of our boats. You know, it's nice being in the boat, we're safe, but once we get out on that water, that's where real courage starts. And that's the courage God wants all of us to practice so that we don't wind up at the end of our lives as practical atheists. So at our funeral said, did you know she was Catholic? She went to church every Sunday. Oh, I never knew that. You know, it's kind of like, wow, how would people define us, remember us, recognize who we were in this life? So courage that comes from God. God gives it freely to us, but it's also up to us to say to God, yes, God, I want to be courageous. Therefore, I give you permission, or I ask you to do X or Y or Z, and I will follow. So courage, that's what we are called to do in this world, especially where so many people are frightened, are fearful, are depressed, are despondent, who don't have hope. We can bring hope to them if we are courageous. So think of yourself as a courageous person, made in the image and likeness of God, who showed us what real courage is all about in his life, who Peter and Paul showed us how courageously we can live in their lives. And then so now it's up to us. It's our time to be courageous as well, to take courage, to grow it, to live it, to practice it, so that we too will not hesitate about getting out of that boat, getting into the wind and the waves and the darkness, but we do it because why not? God has done it. All we're doing is following in his footsteps.